Okay, here we go. Buckle up and hold on. It's really going to be crazy. And I got two stories today that are shockers. And I've been on this since day one. I'm sure many of you have been following it as well. Gary Holland is with us this hour. He has been just a fountain of wisdom and knowledge about Las Vegas and perspective from a military aspect as well, former U.S. Marine. Just an extraordinary mind, and glad to have him back. Hello, Gary. Welcome.
Good evening, Jeff.
Yeah. keeps coming out, doesn't it? More and more. It is really wild. If I might address the first part of this hour tonight, and that is, if you go to the homepage and look at the top story, the Las Vegas story, right at the top at Rents, you will see three images. If you can, start with the daylight image, and you'll see it's the old image we've all seen of the broken-out windows in Paddock's room. But there's an arrow pointing above that to the right, up in the top six floors. And you know who owns the top five floors, I'm sure, by now. Waleed bin Talal. Wally, one of the world's richest men, owns that top five floors in which the Four Seasons gourmet restaurant is situated. All right, there's an arrow pointing up a number of floors above Gary Paddock's room. And if you look at the video related to that, you will see muzzle flash coming from right where that arrow is. And I'm putting up a frame analysis story. We found some other things that the video doesn't mention. That will go up later on tonight. But I want you to understand that there is muzzle flash from multiple stories higher, and we also believe lower, than Stephen Paddock. So here's another one. This is a very fascinating video. It raises a lot of issues. Your thoughts on it before we go into it any deeper, Gary?
No, like the flash is definitely coming from the higher rooms, and you know, like I said, we already know who owns the top five rooms of Mandalay. So this is, you know, the nest keeps getting tighter and more wound up with more and more strings attached and.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, threads are going everywhere now. But they all lead back to the same Zionist globalist nest. There are some footage in this video, some scenes that are extraordinary. And they are showing a lot of helicopter activity in the area during and shortly after the attack. Metro helicopters allegedly showed up there around 10:23 when the shooting was done. We don't know if they were airborne before that and were chased away. I would suggest that's a possibility. Gary has the one perspective on that that I look at. I don't think Metro helicopters would have been anywhere near that shooting. They would have been shot at and chased away. Or warned away by radio.
Yeah, probably. One of my theories was that it was a heli that, you know, as you know, even on the one video where the guy was doing that analysis on the radar, you know, the flight track radar,
yes.
that one helo disappeared behind Mandalay, and one of my theories was that a Metro helicopter would have been told, hey, you know, go check that out, find out what's going on. As he approached the area, he was fired upon. And then, obviously, if you're going to get fired upon, they're going to be pulled right up and, you know, pulled right out of the area, which they would have been ordered to do anyway. And they backed off. And, you know, we'll never know. And if it did happen, you'll never know, because they're never going to admit, you'll never hear a word out of them. I mean, you don't hear nothing out of Metro anymore anyway.
No.
But
no,
something
no.
like this, you definitely would not hear nothing.
No. When they shut down all news conferences, you knew they were in trouble. They couldn't keep their narrative straight at all. Now, if you look at the top, you'll see the images I took from the video. You can click on the here and look at the video, and you'll see. Meanwhile, if you go down to the third video, which we did talk about, I guess it was last night, it opens with the first 2.5 seconds from the cab driver video, which is very interesting. And I want to play this because there's a lesson in it, if I can find it. That's not the video. Okay, I'll find the video in a minute. But what I want you all to keep in mind as we go through this, you've all seen the live shooting videos. We've watched them over and over again, many of us. And one thing that has always struck me is the incredible clarity of much of the automatic weapons fire. It is crystal clear. It's not muddy. It's not off way off in the distance. It's right there. And the cabbie's video, it sounds like it's 15 or 20 feet above her taxi. It sounds that close. Now, the person who's been putting out the interesting videos about helicopter gunships and helicopters with automatic weapons on them seems to be missing a couple of points here. One of them is that we could never hear such clarity of automatic weapon fire without hearing what else, if these were coming from helicopters. The sound of the helicopter rotors, the noise they make. You can't quell that. You've got noise from a helicopter, which is quite loud, and you've got gunshots. I don't know how to compare them, but certainly they're comparable. They're both very loud. But you have no helicopter noise whatsoever in that video of the cab driver, for example. Gary, there's no way that they could suppress the helicopter noise in all of those helicopters. I think the military has some quiet and stealth technology, but these are commercial grade helicopters, correct?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, you're never not going to quell any noise on them. Remember, any type of helicopter, if you notice, if you're in an area where there's a lot of helicopters, you can hear them from almost coming up from almost a half mile away. And they get closer, it goes, and you can hear them getting closer and closer and closer. And once it gets over you, it's loud. I mean, it's really super loud because you got, like I said, you got the rotors and they're spinning. And that's, what it's doing is keeping it up in the air is them rotors, and you're chopping a lot of air.
Right.
And it's making a lot of noise. And what, my point has been, if it was in between them buildings, you got to understand that would have been an echo chamber. If it's in, you're in between Mandalay, say directly, right, you're literally in between Mandalay and Delano, okay? You would have a serious echo coming out, and you would hear that. You couldn't miss the sound. It's a distinctive sound. And, there was no, I know there's been a theory of somebody that the whole attack came from helicopters, and that make no sense. Because, first of all, just, like Billy's testimony where the bullet went into the bottom of his back and went out to the top of his chest.
Right.
There was no, that helicopter would have been possible to do that. Now, I believe is that helicopter use was used as a support mechanism for the ground fire, the ground team. That would have been for like some type of like a backup and for incoming, to intercept. As an interceptor, mainly for, as anything else, would be the most part is to intercept on the behalf of the ground shooter so they don't have to be, they don't have to get to in some type of, engagement with anyone trying to stop them. In other words, so the helicopter would have fired upon the metro cars coming in, and I still believe that. I would still assume, that's only an assumption again, but I would assume that some of that fire was helo to another aircraft, and it was, and which is could have been the reason why.
Right.
Again, they canceled all flights incoming and outgoing, and they froze all incoming and outgoing flights coming in and out of McCarran.
Well, I would urge all of you to go back and look at the videos about the radar tracking of what was in the air at the time. Tour helicopters were up and aloft. They have about a 15-minute run, I guess, and they came back. And it looks like other helicopter or copter activity was folded into their line at one point. It's all very interesting. I also have a freeze frame in one video. I took it out of a helicopter flying right across the front about mid-level from bottom to top of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, from right to left, flying right across the front of it. It's amazing. Now, here's an example of that cab driver and her video being very close to automatic weapons. Now, you tell me, the guy who's saying that this was all done by helicopter, I think is pushing another agenda. He's got some good points, but that's the way it is with good disinformation. You've got to have good material to predicate your false premise on, and he does. And the false premise here just doesn't work because of the sound, the clarity of the automatic weapons, and nothing from a helicopter. No way. It doesn't happen. So here, take a listen to this, and I think the point will be very obvious. It'll come up pretty quickly here. Now, did you hear anything that sounded like a helicopter? No, you heard distant police cars, and then you heard a very close burst of automatic weapons fire. And I don't... Here, I'll play it again. You can't hide a helicopter. So people who are saying helicopters did all the shooting are misleading you, or they're just not very smart when it comes to this stuff. They forgot about the noise that helicopters make. Now, here we go. Let's play it again. Now, understand that this is very close to this cab. There was a burst before, and then the burst very near, and then another burst after that. So here, one more time. I just want you to listen. Do you hear anything that sounds like a helicopter? This is important, because a lot of people are looking at these videos and saying, wow, it was all helicopters that did it. So here you go. Now you hear a distant little burst, and then right over the cab. Do you hear any helicopters? Of course not. And point of fact, most all of the live fire that can be heard in all the recordings that I've seen, the digital recordings, audio and video, smartphones, I don't hear any helicopter noise. I have heard a couple of videos when there was no shooting and it sounded as if there was a whoop, 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 up a cadence that clearly sounds like a helicopter overhead. No shooting going on at that time. So that's the bottom line I wanted to make here, Gary. And you know plenty about helicopters. Yeah. You can't make that argument. There's something wrong with your argument that is suspiciously wrong.
And remember where that taxi driver was sitting at the time she recorded that audio. She was at the valet parking where the taxi cab row, what they call taxi cab row, near the main entrance of Mandalay Bay. So that helicopters would have been in that area where they were saying, because they're saying, well, it's off in that area near Mandalay. That you would have heard that loud as anything, because it was right above her. If there was helicopters flying right above her, you would have heard it right away. You didn't hear nothing like that, because you know you heard the distinct, and it was only like maybe like two or three stories above her, if that. It was loud, and it was right around her area. I mean, in the immediate area I'm talking about, not like off in the distance.
I don't want to knock the guy making these videos. I don't know him, but that's a pretty big oversight. No helicopter noise, and claiming that this is all done by helicopter. Now, that's a problem. The other problem is that she, in her video near the beginning, looks up at the Mandalay. She says something like, it seems like it's coming from up there, and she pans up a little bit. And if you remember, in that window, fourth or fifth, sixth floor window, there are some flashes that come out, muzzle flash. Yeah. Now he says there's proof right there again. I'm paraphrasing what the video says, and he doesn't say it verbally. He uses all printed subtitles and titles. He says, it's a reflection off the window of muzzle flash from a helicopter. Well, impossible for two reasons, and I'm not a professional. You look, you imagine you're that cell phone camera or smartphone camera. It's got to be a smartphone. And you're pointed up at that window, and you see in the center of that window a muzzle flash, and it continues. It's not just one flash. It's... Well, the cell phone or smartphone is moving around, but that flash is remaining absolutely dead center in that window. If that were a helicopter reflection, and you draw an inverse angle. You go up, and then you come back toward yourself and match the angle going up. You would have a helicopter that would have to be firing basically toward the Mandalay to get the muzzle flash to appear in the middle of that room window. Correct?
And if it was coming, and if it was, he was trying to say it's reflecting off the six-story window, that helicopter had been, if you're doing any type of close reflection,
right,
you estimate between where, less than 100 feet above the ground?
Exactly.
You'd be causing a windstorm. I mean, you know, I don't know if anyone's been around a helicopter. I've been around a lot of helos, and I'm telling you, less than 100 feet above you, that thing's causing like a hurricane-force wind underneath. So it's blowing wind heavily. And again, that night, by the way, there was a lot of winds in the
It was a windy night.
Cold front coming
through. Yeah.
It was a windy night because of the cold front coming through here that night. I remember because it was a high wind warning that weekend. So if you had a helicopter flying around, the turbulence in them helicopters, especially around the buildings, I mean, you know, there's a reason why, like, they have a lot of times when there's a storm coming into the mountains and, you know, helo rescues and the search and rescue can't fly helicopters sometimes in to the mountains because of such wind shear, it'll literally, you know, pull in the helicopter and slam it into the side of the mountain. Same thing with the building. If you have a lot of wind that night, and then a little bit higher you get, the more higher the wind is going to be, you know, it would have been a wind shear from anything for them helicopter. It would be almost impossible for them to stay steady to shoot. See, I mean, because you have to be in a stationary position. You're trying to keep that helicopter stationary shooting. I mean, if he was flying back and forth, you know, doing rounds, trying to shoot like that, come on, that would have been on every video. It'd be swarms of them doing that. And it wasn't.
No, so the idea that was a reflection is just—it's just not right. It's bogus. It's wrong. Now, Tucker Carlson played a video, which was loaded with wind and dust and debris. And here's how Tucker Carlson described what he saw in that video. And just remember what Gary just said.
You can see a large amount of wind and debris. Apparently, that's due to a helicopter hovering overhead.
Helicopters are flying. There's two helicopters. The lights are
like there was someone.
Okay, so eyewitnesses, and there were helicopters. About 10:20. Remember, they would have been Metro helicopters with their floodlight searchlights on, and we have video of that as well. The other helicopters, they were part of this operation, which was huge. Now, I'm going to put up an analysis later tonight, which will show what the images at the top of the homepage show you now, and that's a direction to look with an arrow pointing at a window in the top. It's about two stories from the top. It's up in Saudi land where the Four Seasons restaurant is. They own the top five stories of the Mandalay Hotel, maybe six, I think it's five. And when I put this up, you're going to see muzzle flash from that room. I've got freeze frames. But before you see the muzzle flash, and this won't be a surprise to you, Gary, there is clearly a drape. One of the room draperies is actually blowing out the window and flapping like a flag. And then the muzzle flashes show up. It's the drape in the room, and I'm suggesting there was maybe another window open in that room on the other side, and with that much wind in the valley, it just simply blew that drape right out, and it was just flapping in the breeze. Somebody grabbed it, pulled it in, and then the muzzle flashes began. This is all demonstrable if you isolate those frames in that video. The window was open, and the drape was blowing out like a flag.
Yeah, well, they pulled the window panes down. You could either release them, or you know how you showed that video, where you could take them down within less than 6 minutes and replace.
Joe, well, 60 seconds.
60 seconds. So yeah. So and I'm off by 5 minutes. So 60 seconds. They have that thing unsealed. Boom.
Yeah.
They have it out.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Really, what seals them in is just through heat. They use these heat, you know, they melt like this rubber stuff, just like a windshield in a car.
Right.
And they heat it up, pull it out, have that, you know, the suction cup thing, pull it in very nice and neat.
Right.
Then the wind's blowing, and boom, they're up there. And it's
Remember also the so-called leaked pictures of Paddock's suite which showed his body on the ground and so forth. If you look at that picture, look at the curtain that's over the busted out window in that in the big room, and you'll see that the curtain is being blown inward by the wind. It's so you can see that that's exactly what happens. The guys who repair those windows, the guy said we can take one of those out in 60 seconds. If we know what we're doing, and we do. So.
And if an operative was going to do that, they would be training for months to do that, and they'd have the timing and the routine and technique down to a science, and it would be nothing for them to do.
Nothing at all.
Nope.
725. I'm trying to find another spot here. Okay, I've got more. There's more footage of another helicopter in this particular story that you can click on and look at, and it shows another helo flying from right to left in between the two towers, the Mandalay Bay and the Delano, and it shows clearly that helicopter is firing as it passes from right to left behind the two towers. Now, is it firing in the direction of the smartphone that's doing the recording? I can't answer that. But it is clear muzzle flash that we're watching on that helicopter. So you'll be able to see it. I think it's around 7:25 in the video, something like that. Anyhow, hang on a second. We have much more ahead. For all of you who have been confused at all by the claims of some that there were no shots fired, they were recordings on the PA system. No one was wounded. No one died. There was fake blood there and crisis actors. And I'm sure many of you have heard these stories. We're going to put those to sleep once and for all in just a few minutes. Okay, let's get right back to it. Gary Holland is with us, and we're talking about the two amazing new developments in the ever-worsening Las Vegas massacre story, worsening in the sense that we're being lied to monumentally. This is as bad as 9/11. And I think there's some things that we're learning from Las Vegas that will help some of us understand 9/11 a little bit better. Your attention again to the top video, the top frame of three images that are rotating. You'll see that video. Proof shots from Waleed bin Talal's Four Seasons floor on top of the Mandalay Bay and not Paddock's room. That's a video. At 40 seconds in there, 40 seconds, you'll see from the right to the left between the two towers, the Mandalay and the Delano, you'll see a helicopter flying. And you'll see muzzle, it's shooting up a storm. You'll see the muzzle flash from it. You cannot mistake it. 40 seconds, the video's at the top of the homepage, right above the three rotating images. Click on the video at 40 seconds. All right, now, let me say something here. I have always been repulsed at hearing stories about no bodies, no blood, fake blood, crisis actors, the sounds of gunshots were only recordings played through the public address system. I honestly think that people proffering that kind of information are the lowest form of humanity. They're clearly working for somebody. Nobody in their right mind could say that. It goes hand in hand with no planes hit the towers on 9/11. Those were just hologram images. Your mind fooled you. There were no aircraft that hit the towers. There are actually people who are saying that, okay? Now, let's go to the... Here's the punchline. Here's the headline and the stories at the very top of the Las Vegas stories. Vegas massacre. The cover-up. PR firm hired by Mandalay Bay exposed pushing conspiracy theories, bogus, outrageous, outlandish conspiracy theories. Now, before I read some of this, Gary, have you had a chance to read through this?
Yes, I have.
Thoughts?
Yes. This info, this guy here, he's spot on. The people who've been peddling this information is first of all, they're very scummy. But now more and more to me, it's looking like a coordinated effort as a major disinfo campaign for people to take their focus off the reality of the actual people getting killed, the ground shooters. And what they do is they want to refocus your mind on something completely that doesn't make any sense, like all helicopters did the shooting, and or there was just no, there was all crisis actors using sound equipment and big boom speakers on buildings and most ridiculous, far-fetched, you know, beliefs. And see, what happens is when you go down, when you follow that path could just be as an infinity. You can keep going forever, and you'll never hit a dead end on it because they just keep sending you one direction after another. And the farther you go down that road, the farther you go away from the truth, and to the point where you're so far out in left field,
you give up.
That you just your head spins out, and you say, "Well, you just put your hands up in the air, and you say, you know, I give up." And you know, you just go back to your sleeping, you know, go back being Rumpelstiltskin, and you go back to your sleep, and that's it. It's just, and that's what it's designed to do.
It works for
perfect.
A lot of people, yeah. And if they get boxed in, they just create another lie and go in a different direction. That's all they do.
Think about this, Jeff. The good people could be doing the time, and there's probably a lot of people out there who honestly believe this, but how many man hours are wasted on silliness when they could have used the same man hours to actually get concrete material that would actually pertinent to really of what happened? And so if you're going down this weird path and you're spending 10, 12, 13 hours a day going down this road of trying to prove something that's unprovable because it's fantasy land.
No planes hit the towers on 9/11. It was just a hologram, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that one, huh? It just doesn't get much worse until you come fast forward to Las Vegas. Now, a lot of people listening right now are in Las Vegas, probably a lot of people in Metro, FBI, all of you folks in FBI and Metro and DHS doing your jobs. You're, you know, on the payroll. We understand. We get it. And I know that a lot of you have, as a matter of conscience, mixed feelings about this. Maybe some of you don't. I would think as a human being, you would. Well, here's the bottom line. It's all public relations bullshit. Here's the story. In another strange twist to the largest mass shooting in recent U.S. history, a damning report indicates that the parent company of the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino, MGM Resorts International, is paying crisis management firm Joel Frank to spread disinformation about the massacre online. MGM Resorts International, I repeat, is paying crisis management firm Joel Frank to spread disinformation about the massacre online. According to a bombshell report published by Thomas Michael on Medium, the crisis management firm is deliberately spreading ridiculous conspiracy theories on social media in an attempt to discredit legitimate inquiry into the bizarre official narrative and actively trying to muddy the water about events surrounding the mass shooting. The report details how MGM International hired Joel Frank to run damage control in the wake of the deadly attack that left 58 dead October 1st. Michael's report about this subsequently exposes ties between that crisis management firm and numerous Twitter accounts posting clearly bogus conspiracy theories about the mass shooting, claiming the shooting was fake, there was no blood, there were no victims, it was all crisis actors, the whole nine yards. This is all in the article that I have up at the very top of the Las Vegas coverage now. Spread it around to any of your friends who are buying into the lunacy that these creeps put out. The report goes on to explain how Michael, the author researcher, discovered that a significant portion of the disinformation on Twitter concerning the Las Vegas massacre was originating from an account with the handle DeepSTVTE. Now, it looks like Deep State with a V in there. Curiously, the Deep State, we'll call it, account is heavily connected with bots, which helped it spread nonsensical conspiracy theories about the shooting, according to Got News. And it goes on. Let me find out a little bit more to read to you here. The Medium, that's a site, report goes on to expose an international disinformation campaign by that crisis management firm to confuse people who are seeking answers to the tragic massacre. And that story reads, furthermore, the real conspiracy theory that were being propagated by the above mentioned Twitter handles were pushing stories such as the shooting was fake, there was no blood, no victims, crisis actors were used, the whole nine yards, while simultaneously discrediting any viable theories made by the public or discovered by researchers. These are, without question, professionals. Professionals. They are being paid to do this. Professionals. And when I mean pushing their real conspiracy theories, they were getting 7.5 million impressions at one point on October in Twitter. This was a direct disinformation campaign designed to lure folks who were questioning the official narrative into being told fairy tales about what actually happened that night, and thus become discredited as conspiracy theorists after they rattle off some absurd story that they were told by one of those Twitter handles. So you get it? People put this garbage out there. It's picked up by some of the sheep. They start to repeat it. The whole thing then becomes mired in madness, ludicrous madness, stupidity, fantasy land stuff. That's the name of crisis management control. That's what they do. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, Joey Frank is, she's a woman, and she's a Jewish woman. If you look at some of the people that are involved in it, the company itself is their motto is, looking here at their website, it says, Joey Frank is a strategic communications firm recognized for our intellect, integrity, and intensity.
Wow.
And their board members, some of the board members is named Michael Freitag, F-R-E-I-T-A-G, we already know what that last name is, and James Golden.
Yeah, there's another one. Name. See, this is all Zionist Jewish Mossad. Yeah. It's all tied in. Once again, where have we heard this before beside forever? Every major event from 9/11 especially on, you got Mossad. It's always there. And I go back to my original headline that I put up 2 to 3 hours after the shootings happened. I put it up. I never changed it. I don't need to. On October 1st, I put up at 2 in the morning, CIA, ISIS, Saudi, Mossad, false flag. CIA, ISIS, Saudi, Mossad, false flag. Another 9/11 as more Americans slaughtered for the agenda. Lee Harvey Paddock was dressed up with guns, but no motive. Never knew he was patsied. 3 hours after the shooting, we had that up, and I've never changed it, and there's no need to. Gary has found out, and his research is even more amazing than what we've been able to bring out so far tonight. This J-O-E-L-E, it's Joel or Jolie, I don't know what it is, Frank.
Jolie, I'm assuming. It was
Jolie,
me.
All right. Well, yeah. Again, it's a Zionist Jewish operation. This is what we're finding. The facts are facts. We can't change it. If they were all Chinese, I'd be mentioning the same thing. Yeah. Facts are facts.
It's definitely Khazarian Jewish too. She is. You can just by the look of this, they have that look. You can tell right away. You know, it's.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that more and more, like I was saying last night, this points to Zionism. It is just. It reeks of it. It just does. And, you know, you got to understand who owns the Delano. If you know, you just got to see who.
Now, the Delano is the other tower next to the, as you know, the MGM-owned Mandalay Bay. It's similar architecture. It's probably identical architecture. And it's owned by a group, a Jewish group, Jewish individuals, totally tied in again to Israel and the Mossad. All right? Nothing goes on without the Mossad knowing about it. Nothing.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting guy, this guy. His name's Sam Nazarian. His father...
He owns the Delano?
Yeah, actually, I'll give you a little brief, quick history. The Delano used to be called The Hotel. That was the name of the building. It was an MGM-owned venture at one time. They sold off to a place, a company called the Morgan Hotel Group, which was owned by a... Erwin and something, Schoenberg, his name was, and he sold it and was actually basically taken over by SBE Group. Well, who's SBE Group? Well, that's owned by Sam Nazarian. Nazarian is an Iranian Jewish billionaire, but it's who his lineage, he derives from. It's just even more telling of what that money, the billionaire money, is basically is Mossad money. It's just. Get it out there. I don't want to, try to throw hints down. It's Mossad money. The father, Yunus Nazarian, okay, he made his fortune with his brother, Isaac Nazarian, okay? Well, Sam's father serves on the advisory board of the Center for Middle East Public Policy at the RAND Corporation.
Oh, okay? RAND. There we go.
Wow. And serves on the board of directors of Friends of the IDF.
Oh, my.
Okay? He's a fundraising, and also he's a fundraiser for nonprofit organizations for the Israeli Defense Force. Yunus was also the former chairman of the Habib Levy Cultural and Education Foundation. And where have you heard that before? That name,
just
the
amazing.
Habib Levy.
Yeah.
And and so you got to understand. But also, he was also on the board of trustees of the Jewish Federation and the Jewish Television Network. So these are the who's who's of Zionism. Now the uncle is even more has a more sordid past. His uncle's name's Isaac. He is an Iranian born American billionaire, Jewish businessman, investor, and he also was a managing partner of OmniNet Capital. He started his business, by the way, after his service of IDF. He was in the IDF. Isaac was in the IDF. He served in the IDF. Started a gravel business. He built his business, but he also owned a big cement factory called Yanka. And he went to Iran in 1957, right? Now, Isaac expanded his construction business and oversaw most of the government-built buildings in Iran. Was built by the contractor Isaac Nazarian. Okay, but also he was really in tight with the Shah.
Wow.
And also the thing about, in 1979 during the revolution, Isaac took off, they all left, they all fled Iran because he was on a kill list. So who does he hook up with when he first resettles in the United States? Well, no other than Arm & Hammer.
Oh, my. Well, you see, it's all locked together, all of it.
Yep. And by the way, so he was recognized, Isaac, in his over life, because Isaac passed away this past summer. He was recognized as one of the four philanthropic visionaries alongside Guilford Glaser, Jonah Goodrich, and Max Webb. And they're all part of this organization called American Friends of Tel Aviv.
Like Tel Aviv needs more friends. Yeah. This is all, I guess I should laugh at it. I don't know. The control, and as you said, Gary, we have no political parties. We have one political party in this country. Tell them what it is again.
The AIPAC party. And this is what I'm saying. It's just the amount of stuff that just, it's sickening. It's just really sickening how things do, what's going on in this country. Because I emailed you the other day, and it breaks my heart. Because, the other day, that veteran who started himself on fire, that article, where he couldn't get help from the VA, they don't care. I mean, look, I go to the VA, and I can tell you horror stories about that place. I'd make your hair stand up on the back of your neck. And, you know, and but what I'm growing tired of, like I emailed you, Jeff, I'm getting just tired of watching. You know, the Zionists are one thing. They're a very, you know, they're like a parasite. They just, you know, they lock on and you know, they that's the nature of themselves. It's the Shabbat Goy that really, you know, just drive me crazy. Because, you know, they'll send other Goy to their deaths, and then also cause millions of civilians to die, and only to and invade countries,
right,
just to suck up, kiss ass, and grovel to the hideous Zionists. That's what they do it for. They don't care who they liquidate, as long as they get to suck it. They're just. It reminds me. Have you ever seen the movie They Live?
And oh, long time ago.
By John Carpenter. Okay, you remember the part where Rowdy Piper and the other—I forgot the other actor's name—where they went, they got that clicker thing as that watch, and they managed to go behind the scenes.
Oh,
and they
showed
the aliens saying, "And you guys as humans are going to make $1 million this year." And they showed the humans interacting with the alien race,
uh-huh,
and they're all drinking and, you know, all fat and piggish and everything else. That's a Shabbat Goy with the Zionists. They're doing the same thing.
Well, talk about selling out. Yeah. It's worse than that.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Beyond belief, and you know, and I this operation that happened here with the Delano. Look, if you can definitely rest for sure, if anyone had any doubt about anything to do any Zionist not being involved, the owner of the Delano should just completely wipe away any doubts you got.
Well, what you just read is
never allow an operation to go down in their Mossad building.
Oh, never.
They knew what was going on.
No. That's what I said early on. I said this would never have happened without the Mossad being alerted and okay with it. If not planned it, and we now know clearly that who planned it, who plans everything. 0.2% of the world population.
Yep.
0.2 tenths of 1%.
Yeah.
Of the world population runs the Western world. Doesn't run India, not yet, not that we know of. Doesn't run China, but the rest of it, pretty well. And if you don't think that they're in China heavily trying to make deals,
yeah.
A friend of mine went to Shanghai, he said there were Jews all over town. You couldn't believe how many Jews were there. So, yeah,
well,
same thing
in
India.
British royalty set up the Chinese government years ago. They set up Mao. They put Mao in place.
Right.
And who's the British royalty? British royalty are all Jews. They're crypto Jews, just like Saudi royalty crypto Jews. I hate to say it sometimes, but, man, it feels like this game is so fixed that you never, you know, they keep, every time you're about to go in for into the end zone for a touchdown, they move the end zone another 100 yards forward. It's the end zone you never could reach.
That's really an interesting analogy, and I think you've got it right. They run the game, they control the game board, and you're never going to win anything. Not going to happen unless they want you to, or if you sell out.
And then they got the disinfo guys on the radio selling the you know, it's the Saudis that did it, it's this one. It's always some straw man they set up. But who's setting the straw man up? It's
right.
The Zionists. And they will not point the obvious truth out. I don't. It's sometimes it's maddening.
It
because,
is.
You know,
but you
got to
understand,
maddening.
Gary, you got to keep in mind, and all of us do, I do too, that the media is not accountable. Because the media is not us, it's them.
Yeah.
They will never be held accountable by us because it's them. We don't own
David
our
Duke
media.
Had it right.
We don't
the
own
Zionist
our money.
Liars.
We don't own our media. We don't own anything. And the AIPAC party is the party of America.
Yep. They run the show. And what's maddening for me is, like I was trying, what I was saying, it wasn't even just about the mainstream media. We already know they've been completely co-op. They're Zionist-owned, Zionist liars, like David Duke said. But it's the people that I talk to in just the general public. You start talking about Zionism, and the first thing is, you're a Nazi and gas chambers. See how they use that boogeyman, silly,
right,
disproven theory so long ago? If you had just a thinking mind, you wouldn't be locked into that logic of the Jews were all gassed and you're evil to talk anything different. See, but they're locked into that mindset. It's a reflex.
They're wired to do it.
It's actually been drilled into the DNA of the goyim to the point where it's instinctive now. I guess it's kind of like what Dr. Caldwell says, learned helplessness.
It's learned helplessness.
At this point, it's like riding a bike. It's learned response. You say something against Israel, Nazi, gas chamber. It's kind of like word association they're playing. They play this word association game. It's like you say one thing, and then first thing they say is Nazi and anti-Semitic, concentration camp. Anti-Semitic, Nazi,
Jew-hater.
Concentration camp.
Yeah, no.
Yep, hater.
Nope, that's far from reality
as it gets.
And it shuts
down the argument because they love to shut down the argument because the truth never gets out.
No.
And they just say them four little stupid sayings they do all the time. And I forgot that. Remember the lady from Israel? I don't remember her name. I mean, I can't remember a thousand. But she said we use the Holocaust all the time.
Oh, she was a former member of the Knesset, too, an educator. Very brave woman. Yeah, she said, whenever we get, forget how she phrased it. I'll try and find that. Her name was Shulamit Aloni. That's right. Shulamit Aloni. Let me see if I can find this. Hold on. It's Shulamit. How did I remember that? I think that's it, though.
Yeah.
Let me see. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Okay, here we go. Hold on one second. We're going to run just a little bit late, Todd, on this. I've got to play this. Here she is being interviewed on Democracy Now!, I should say Zionism Now!, on YouTube. So here, former Israeli minister Shulamit Aloni.
Yours is a voice of criticism we don't often hear in the United States. Often when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government, people here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew?
Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. And the organization is strong and has a lot of money, and the ties between Israel and the American Jewish establishment are very strong, and they are strong in this country. As you know, they have power, which it's okay. They are talented people, and they have power, money, and media, and other things. And their attitude is Israel, my country, right or wrong, the identification. And they are not ready to hear criticism. And it's very easy to blame people who criticize certain acts of the Israeli government as anti-Semitic and to bring up the Holocaust and the suffering of the Jewish people. And that justifies everything we do to the Palestinians.
All right, there it is. Right straight from a very brave Jewish woman, an Israeli. Telling the truth.
Brave, but at the same time uses reverse psychology. If you notice, she still says, well, the suffering of the Jewish people, she goes, either they're right or wrong, and they did suffer. So see, it's mixed in with the reverse psychology with some truths.
I'll take what I got, though. Yeah, you're right, but I'll take that much. That was pretty amazing.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Gary, thanks for being here. Thanks for the analysis. Amazing things rolling out today. PR firm running the whole campaign about crisis actors. And think back to 9/11. Think back to other events, okay? Remember, damage control, crisis management.
Yep, and it's not a surprise that damage control firm is Zionist and Mossad, definitely Mossad, and Delano owned Mossad. You're starting to see the Mossad chessboard filling up.
There it is. All right. Take care, Gary. Thanks.
All right. You too.
All right. Okay, there you go.